In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are very thrilled to be here.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. So we'd like to ask you one quick question. What in the world are you doing here? What is there more to talk about? Why do you keep showing up? Haven't you been fixed by now? Aren't you all better? Aren't you all evolved to a different state of being where now you have complete access to all the information you ever want at your own fingertips? Why do you come back here? What do we have to share with you? Well, it's interesting. When you ask that question, what is there more to learn? What is there more to know? You are all a new vibrational level of who you were last time we talked. And in that expanded version of you, you have new questions. You have new insights. You have a new way of thinking. And so you bring us to a new level every single time. And so through you and through your questions and through what you're asking, you allow us to come to another place, to a higher level of being, to reach for ideas that have possibly never been expressed before in the history of mankind. And that is why it's so exciting for us to be here. That's why we're thrilled to be here. Without you, we'd just be observing and watching you and having fun in that. But because of you, we get to participate in the expansion of the universe through your eyes and your questions and your thoughts and your desires and all the things you wish for. And so it is our thrill, our pleasure to be here with you today. And so we are looking forward to what you have to say.
This is always the awkward part.
Why is it awkward? What could possibly be awkward? What do you have something to talk about?
Hi, Joshua. It's me, Alette from Rotterdam.
Hello, Alette.
Things are going pretty great here. I moved my mom last Friday to a new apartment in the retirement home. And looking back, it's almost pure magic how everything worked out so far. And in the meantime, I've also found someone who's going to refurbish some furniture for me and is going to help me take care of my living room, giving it a new, fresh look. And that man also magically came to me. And it's great, but there's still some fear, of course, because it's quite a job and quite a lot of work, because I'm so tired from everything I had to do for my mom. And new things keep popping up, and I have to organize, call people, buy stuff, clear out stuff. And it's like I'm getting even more responsibilities all the time, and right now I could do with a bit of a time out.
Sure. So if you were just on your own, in your apartment, living your life, not doing anything, Yay. You would not feel tired. In fact, you would feel ready to do something. You'd feel ready to go. And so as you get these feelings of ready to go, you allow in more of what you want. And as the more of what you want comes to you magically, you have a bit of fear. Because being alone in your apartment, not doing anything much, there is not a lot of fear there. Anytime you are inspired to do something, to take on some responsibility, to allow things to happen, you're going to bring out a little bit of resistance. And that little bit of resistance is a little bit of fear. The more you're able to manage that fear, the less tired you'll be, the more ready you'll be for new things. And possibly one day, you'll be ready for twice as many things as you're handling right now. Or okay. 10 times. Or 100 times. You see, it's all relative, right? If you offered forth no fear whatsoever, then everything you truly wanted would come to you as if by magic, one thing after the other, very quickly. With a little bit of fear, a little bit of resistance, you slow it down. And that's perfectly all right. Because you are attracting what you're comfortable with. Everyone is attracting what they can handle. No one is attracting more than they can handle. Everyone is attracting exactly what would be the definition of what they're focused on and how they perceive their reality. Because as a mirror, reality reflects back what you need, what you can handle, what you're working on, what you're moving through, the fears you have, the desires you have, how intensely you're focused on this thing over that thing, how wrong you think something is, how right you think something is, your ability to accept that which is, rather than to wish it was slightly different, or to wish it was a lot different, or to wish it would come in slower, or to wish it would come in faster. You see, if you completely accepted everything and everyone as they were, without asking anything to change, then all that you truly wanted would flow to you in a tidal wave. But the tidal wave, from your perspective right now, where you are and how you've lived your life, is overwhelming. From the higher perspective, the tidal wave is exactly how it should be. Because it will always come to you as you're ready for it. The more ready for it, the more faster it will come. The less ready for it, the slower it will come. Isn't that a nice system? You get to choose how fast everything will come. Now, the only possible way that you can resist all this is because you have a little bit of fear. You fear, what will happen if this goes wrong? What will happen if that goes wrong? What will happen if this person doesn't show up? What will happen if my mother's not happy? What will happen if blah, 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 blah? On and on and on and on. However, you could take an alternative viewpoint, and you could say, I fully trust that what I need will come when I need it. I fully trust that what my mom needs will come when she needs it. I fully trust that all the cooperative elements will join me at the right time to do what needs to be done. I need not worry about the future. I need not protect myself from danger. I need not to try to control everything that's happening. All I have to do is practice how I feel. And in the feeling that things are working out, well, they'll work out. In the feeling that things could be different than they are, well, that's a little resistance, and you can work on that thought. You can soften that thought and play with that thought. You've already gotten so phenomenally better than where you were just a couple of years ago. Can you feel it?
Yes, I can.
The faith and trust that you have now is exponentially more powerful than it was before. The doubt that you have now is exponentially less intense than it was before.
Yes.
And so things come easier and easier and easier. You feel lighter and lighter and lighter. You have more faith. You're less worried. Life is easier. There's less times of being tired and more times of being curious and interested and excited about what's happening. And you can build on that. And you're building a momentum towards more of that. So, your question is, how do I become more energized and less tired?
Yes.
And that is through the art of allowing, through the non-resistance of what is happening, through the faith that things are always working out for you, through the belief that There are universal forces in play that, unbeknownst to you and beyond your perception, are working things out for you. And while you may perceive a little fear, and you may perceive things as could be a little bit different, could be a little easier, could be a little smoother, could be more obvious that they're going to work out, that's the thing that you're really thinking about now. Mm-hmm. I have faith it's going to work out. I just wish I could see it. I just yes. wish someone would tell me how it's going to work out. Right? Yeah. But yeah. All we say is imagine yourself 10 years from now looking back on this time and saying, oh, it was quite amazing how everything did work out. I never needed to worry that whole time. That worry just caused me to feel a little tired.
Yes.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, this is a question or a conversation that is universal, that no matter how much faith you can adopt and how far you can go, you will always get to another layer of fear. And so even though you are moving rapidly towards a easier life and more allowing more things to happen and being more accepting of what is, you're always going to bump up against a new limiting belief and a new fear will pop up that you'll have to resolve. So the only thing you can ever do is just practice resolving those fears and practice talking to yourself in a way that makes it easy and in a way that causes the fear to be substantially reduced so that it, while it could still be there, it's not going to stop you from doing things.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Excellent.
Can you talk more about that? Because I feel like that's where I'm at right now. And it's this pattern that I keep cycling back through where I ask for these. I have these grand desires and I ask for them. And then the universe brings me all these things to pave the way and make them possible. And then I get overwhelmed and I freeze and just shut down and then judge myself for shutting down and then just spiral to, and, but not, okay. I keep feeling like I'm bad, like how you open the call. Like, why am I still here? Because I'm still doing the same shit that I was doing 2 years ago, you know? And
you'll be doing the same shit the rest of this life, the rest of the next life, the rest of this life, the rest of the next life. There is no end to the shit, right? Because once you peel away the layer of one fear, you move into a new vibrational standpoint where you're ready for something more. And that something more is going to bring up a new fear that will feel as intense as the last fear that you overcame. Only because it's a new layer. It's a deeper layer. It's a more advanced fear. It has more charge behind it. And you weren't ready to tackle or look at or resolve that fear 2 months ago. But now you're ready now because you've come, you've expanded in those 2 months, and now you're at a new vibrational level, ready to peel away another layer of this infinite onion. And so it'll always seem like you're doing the same thing. And it will possibly seem by the intensity or the greater intensity, actually, because as you get deeper into this, the negative emotion of fear is going to seem more and more intense because comparatively you are in a feeling better place.
Right. But I mean, so that's it. So I'm like at the best place, I mean, that I've ever been in my life. And at the same time, like when these intense fears are coming up, it's like, my body is going into survival mode, like alert, alert, like all systems, like they're literally shutting down where I'm like having a hard time leaving my house. I don't know. It's just, I don't know what is happening and I don't know how to, okay. So process through it. And then I do that, but it's, and that alleviates it for 5 minutes and then it's back.
Yeah. And then you process it again for 5 minutes and it's back. And then you process it again for five minutes and back.
And I'm tired.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could figure out a way to resolve all the fears at one time and never have to think another fear again? There is a way to do that. do you want to know how you do that?
dying.
Very good, exactly.
Well,
return to the non-physical, and then you won't have to deal with these fears. However, guess what you did? You chose to come here and process these fears and move to a new level. And without the fear, you wouldn't have this expansion that you're having. And so all you can do is get good at processing fear. You can't, or you can just stay in your apartment and live a small life where there is no fear. But guess what? Not really possible.
Yeah, and so I'm doing it. So I'm going out and I'm doing these things and it like hurts physically.
I feel you.
Yeah, it can hurt physically. It can hurt emotionally. It can hurt mentally. It can bring forth fears that attract thoughts or urges to change things. It can bring forth thoughts and ideas that you aren't enough, that you're not doing it right, right?
Yeah.
And then those compounding negative thoughts cause you to resist even more. Because on the one hand, you say, I am accepting and allowing and living in a higher vibrational stance than ever before. But yet I'm doing the same thing I always did. Well, that's part of the program. If you're going to feel a fear, you automatically dip into a lower emotional state of being. You automatically receive urges to change the conditions. You automatically tend to use judgment because judgment is based in fear. And then you, with that judgment of self, you are disagreeing with your inner self. So there's a contrast between how your inner self is seeing you and how you're seeing you, and that is more negative emotion, right?
Mm.
Right. So you know what's happening, you know what's going on here, and you can look at it and say to yourself, this is an illusion. This isn't real. It seems real. You're going to, you want it to seem real, but in the grand scheme of things, what you are perceiving as a negative thing is an illusion because things are going perfectly. You just don't see how the dots are connected. You don't have enough information. Had you had more information, you'd have no fear. But had you had all the information, this would be completely boring to you. You wouldn't even want to be here. There'd be no point of it. If you knew exactly what was going to happen, this would be the most dull existence of all. This is actually exhilarating because when you conquer a fear or when you move to another level, you can feel that sense of relief. You know, without this tension of things are wrong, things should be different than they are, how's this going to work out, I hope it works out, I wish I could control it, that tension builds. And then when you do feel the relief is so much sweeter. Without the tension, the relief wouldn't even be there. You would just be existing in this state. So the relief being the most positive emotion you can feel. And without the tension, there is no relief. You'd just be existing in this easygoing, blissful state, which is not nearly as exciting and interesting as this state of relief and state of accomplishment and state of contribution and moving forward.
Yeah. It'd be nice to stay there a little longer, though.
Well, we would say something sarcastic like, whose fault is that?
Yeah.
Well, okay, so that's what I'm, like, that's part of, and maybe I just could stop the whining and skip past the hurt part. But so part of where I'm at right now is I'm seeing that, like, having full clarity on the fact that my entire life, I chose people to come and be in my reality to sort of, in quotes, so that I would perceive the feeling of oppression, you know? And so, like, as I have up-leveled, my relationships with people have either changed to where we no longer interact in that way, mm-hmm. or they have fallen away and out of my life, and that is fantastic. And at the same time, that is leaving me with the realization that I'm the one that's been oppressing me all along, that, like, nobody ever actually
of
had any
course.
Power. Consented to play in the game. And so now I realize that I'm the same thing that you've been telling me for 2 years, that I'm the only one limiting myself, and I don't know how to stop fucking limiting myself.
But you're not the only one limiting themselves. Guess how many other people are doing that?
Right.
All of us.
So everyone, right? If you're a limitless being, then the only limitations can be self-imposed. And so if you're limited in any way, it comes from an imposition of limitations on yourself.
Right.
And then What is self-discovery? It's moving through those self-imposed limitations to discover how magnificent you are, how accepting you are, how loving you are, how perfect you are, how worthy you are, how capable you are, how limitless you are. That's how you learn who you are. That's how you discover yourself. And in that discovery, you add these experiences that have never been experienced before by anyone else in the world. And then you add all of that to all that is. And then when you transition to the non-physical, which is like that, right? This is a, from a non-physical perspective, this experience of this life is that, right? So all of that expansion, while you think it takes a lifetime, from your non-physical perspective, takes an instant.
Mm.
Right? Mm. And so that shows you how quick this is. How,
right.
Not that it's small, but how easy breezy it could be.
Fleeting. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
That brings really, it takes some of the charge because I'm like, so you said self-discovery. What I'm seeing is, yes, I'm on this amazing path of self-discovery, but I keep tripping myself up because as I discover things like new ways of being, what I'm doing is looking back at how I was being in like shock and horror, you know, like, oh my God. Oh my God. How did I not?
Had you not been there, you couldn't have been here.
Right.
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 Yeah, and there is no shock and horror needed. It's just the trajectory that you were on. And it was the perfect trajectory to bring you here. Without that trajectory, if you had been different in any way, you would not be here now.
Yeah.
Think of all the people you know who are just mindlessly following the same old patterns from birth to death their entire life, right? And
I was just
would you
telling
wanna,
my neighbor, I kind of want that sometimes.
Would you really want to trade places with them?
No, but I'd like to take a time out just for like a day, like Alette said, like just a time out.
We'll
maybe I would next.
Yes. So you would not want to unlearn what you've learned.
Right.
You would not want to go back into the matrix.
Yeah.
You have this purpose now, this purpose for being. That is potentially scary and potentially more fulfilling than anything you could have ever done in your life, right?
Mm.
You are on your path towards this grand awakening and grand teaching that you're doing right now. As you're interacting with us right now, what you are doing is becoming an example of one who is seeking and finding alignment and then falling in and out of that so that those who will follow you can understand that these kind of feelings are part and parcel of this experience of life and that you want this experience, that there's nothing unwanted about it. The only thing that you're doing is experiencing resistance, understanding the pain of that as it grows more intense because you are at a new level now where the resistance cognitively seems like it's a wrong thing, like it should be different than it is. Then realizing that that's all a mechanism of control. And then judging yourself on not being more accepting, being in control, because the judgment just happens to come in as you dip into this low emotional state of being, part of the thing. Mm-hmm. And then you cognitively realize all that is a urge to change a condition. Instead of doing that, instead of dwelling on it, let's change our state of being. Let's realize how far we've come. Let's realize what this is all about. Let's imagine a future where your impact on other people who haven't even been born yet is so great that you can't even imagine it. And how you will feel when you return to the non-physical. The satisfied feeling of this incredibly adventurous path that you've chosen, that all of you have chosen, that will be satisfying. And then in this lifetime, what you manifest and how quickly it starts to come, where you notice how magical it is. You notice how magically people show up. You notice the magic experiences that will lead you to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's all part of it. So it's simply a matter of feeling comfortable talking yourself through these things.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And believing in what you're telling yourself.
Mm.
So the belief is, the basis of this belief is that you are an eternal, magnificent, limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance. And that you're here on a path of self-discovery. And that in that path of self-discovery, you want to identify your limiting beliefs. And the way you do that is through the feeling of fear, whether that is an initial thought, in a manifestation event, or in doubt, right? And then thinking about it and processing it and playing with it and being appreciative to the cooperative forces that come through to allow you to have these experiences so that you can expand. But at the basis of all this, you have to realize that you're perfect as you are, that there is no getting better. That the idea of getting better is an illusion. If the present moment and the conditions are perfect, and you're part of that, then asking it to be different than it is simply resistance. And that the resistance is what's causing the emotional conflict.
Mm.
Right? And so the less resistant you are, the easier it will be to regain your alignment, and the quicker the new fears will pop up. Right? So is there... right? And the new fears are going to be more intense than the last fears. And because you're used to getting back into alignment quicker, you're going to have more doubt.
Jeez.
Because you're going to be like, why isn't this working now? I thought I had this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So good luck with that.
What I'm hearing you say, Joshua, is we need to stay focused on the perspective, it's all for me.
The perspective, it's all for me. The perspective, there is no wrong. The perspective is that any negative emotion is simply resistance. Mm-hmm. That the only way that resistance could pop up is if you had a limiting belief. The only way that the fear could pop up is if you had a limiting belief. So, what's the limiting belief? Well, thank God you get to identify that limiting belief, because what you truly want is trying to manifest in your life. Yet that limiting belief is causing this inequity of vibrational alignment, right? It's causing your vibration to be jittering around over here and not quite matching what you truly want. And sort of the tension of that's rubbing together and creating a little bit of chaos, we will say. And so you get close and then you don't let it come, and you get close and you resist it, and you get close and you resist it. And then you get so close to having exactly what you want, and then you say, that should not have happened that way. It should have been completely different. If only this would happen this way, then I would feel good, right?
Right.
But that's from your limited perspective, and you can't see how it's coming to you.
Mm.
Yeah. And if you just keep hanging on to your life as it is, with this fear of moving forward and having more intense, manifestation events pop up, well, then you're just going to unnecessarily keep your life smaller than you intended.
Oh, boy. Okay.
So, Kyla, imagine yourself as really, we will say, equal to Buddha, Confucius, Gandhi. Mm. This quality of teacher, historic quality of teacher, equal potential in you as in them. Equal.
Right.
The only difference is the ability to process the fear and the limiting beliefs. Now, their lives were cast in such a way that they created trajectories that would cause them to feel similar fears. Of course, not the same fears, because they were not in a modern time. They didn't have to worry about certain things you have to worry about. They didn't have the complexity of your life. Their lives were more simple. Yet, they had to overcome, for them, similarly powerful limiting beliefs. And they were able to somehow. And possibly we are saying that they did not completely extinguish those limiting beliefs, but they found an idea of worthiness so powerful that they were able to push through any self-imposed limitations to do what they chose to do. And to be a teacher, you have to find a way to understand how truly worthy you are in this respect, or to be anything that you want to be. Right? So the unworthiness factor is part of that tension, because as you build on that worthiness, you're going to uncover layers of unworthiness you didn't even realize were there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And those will be more intense, obviously, because they're buried deeper.
Right.
Yeah. Anyone feels worthy to buy a newspaper. Mm-hmm. Anyone feels worthy to watch a TV show. Anyone feels worthy, possibly, to say hello to a stranger, right? Then it gets deeper. Are you worthy enough to do this big thing you think from your perspective? Are you worthy enough to say this thing? Are you worthy enough to go out on this limb? Are you worthy enough to give a TED talk? Are you worthy enough to live authentically?
Yes, we are. Damn it, we are.
You are inherently as worthy as any who have ever are living or will ever live. You're equal to all. But it's this belief system that, to an extent, limits you. Now, some people are limited to a high extent, and some people are less limited. But there's a spectrum of limitation that's self-imposed. And often people will be born in their trajectory and will be defeated before they even started, thinking they're unworthy. And other people will find a way to overcome it, to talk themselves through it.
It's a wild ride, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. And so for those of you who wish to live slightly larger lives than you're living now, you'll have to do a little bit more work on your limiting beliefs, and especially around worthiness. As you see yourself as more magnificent, then your reality has to reflect that. And you will be thrust into situations that bring forth that need to believe in yourself as more worthy, and will cast doubt upon your worthiness.
So if you were to
go out on a limb and start some project and have it completely fail in your mind, right? You would have to challenge your sense of worthiness. Now, am I not good enough to do this thing? Am I not prepared to do this thing? What is it about me that brought up this manifestation event that appeared to look like failure?
I've been having examples of those, and I had another one this weekend, you know, where I push myself and do a thing and then get feedback and feel uncertain and then do it anyway and then perceive it as a failure. So I had this event that I put on at this community art space that I've started interacting with. And there was a series of manifestation events, but anyway, the day came and, you know, I had invited several people, and several people had said they could or might come. And then it was mostly just me most of the time. I had a couple friends that came up. And so, I mean, it would be easy for me to feel like it had failed, and part of me did feel that way, but part of me also was able to see really clearly all of the things that were beautiful and perfect. Like, I actually wasn't feeling super social that day. And then also it opened up space for a couple of people who were walking down the alley. One guy that there's this history with, this older gentleman that lives around town, came and just burst into song and sang me this song. And it was this really magical experience. And then later there's a musician who was in town, a big name that I'd never heard, but he wandered down the alley, and because I was alone, I just like initiated conversation and invited him in and got to show him around. And he did an Instagram story and, you know, publicity for this place that I'm working with, and also like put me in it and called me the block captain and saw me, you know. And so I can see how it does boil down to perspective, but I can see how like, yeah.
Well, it failure. Does boil down to perspective, because imagine if you were crowded and there was 100 people that you knew around you at that time, and then here comes these two people that never got a chance to interact with you. And so what you're saying is that the way you thought it should work out was would have been better than the way it did work out, and that you think you know more, right? So imagine now that you're creating a sculpture, and you have a block of marble. And so you chip away and you chip away and you chip off a piece that seems too big. And from your perspective, you look like, to you, how will this ever work now? I've chipped off this piece. It's too big to chip off. It's in the wrong place. How will this ever work out? And what it actually ends up doing is leading you to create a sculpture that is exponentially more magnificent than what you would have created before. So as a sculpture, you can chip away and get the inspiration, chip here, and then whatever falls off, you say, that is good, that is right. Chip away here, whatever falls off. Or you could say, the chip has to be exactly this. This has to go exactly there. This chip has to be perfect. This has to be right here. And if any of it's not, I'm going to scrap this entire piece of marble and start over again. Now, if you're the type who's going to scrap the piece of marble, what you're saying is that I don't allow input from the universe into what I'm doing. But the system is designed so that the universe is there with you every step of the way, that you are a conduit of what is to be created, that you are not the creator, and therefore you can detach your persona from your creation because it doesn't define you. All you're doing is allowing the universe to flow through you. And if the universe says, this is the way it should happen, because in this happening, you'll meet this person, you'll have this experience, and you will birth these desires. And without this experience exactly like it was, you would be creating something completely different that is exponentially less powerful. Because when you do something by yourself without incorporating the universe, the power of the universe in it, it's not going to be anything compared to the co-creation that you would do with the universe and with all the cooperative entities that are backing you every step of the way. All you're having is doubt. All you're saying is, I'm not good enough. And the universe is saying, you don't need to have doubt, and you are infinitely good enough. You are perfect for exactly what we want to do here. And as you allow the universe to work through you, and as you see everything is right, well, now you get more inspiration, more inspiration, more inspiration. And you become a cooperative part of all of this. As you resist it, resist it, resist it, and feel like it should be different than it is, well, then you just receive urges to say, I'm not doing this right, this isn't working out, blah, 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 blah. The urges are going to drown out the inspiration. And what do you want to be? You want to be someone who can feel worthy because you did something on your own? Or do you want to be a conduit of the universe to bring forth that which truly will make you feel satisfied?
I want to be a conduit.
Excellent. Yes. So yeah. The more you practice being a conduit, the more you practice saying to yourself, this is how it should be. I can't see where it's going from here, but this is pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. This is interesting, no one shows up. This is interesting, this person sings to me. This is interesting, I met this person. I wonder where this is going. It's the attitude of curiosity rather than the attitude of failure or resistance.
Right.
Yeah. So you can't know what a failure is. You can't know what anything is. You're just looking at things from inside the corn maze, wondering where to go next. How will this turn out? Will I ever get out of this maze? Mm-hmm. The answer is no.
No.
Excellent. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Who would like to jump in?
I'll go,
Hey, Joshua. Go ahead. Go ahead, Tracy.
Thanks, Isabel. So if we can, maybe talk a little bit about reality. what is reality? Is reality physical or is it in the non-physical? I had a discussion with Gary this morning, and he had a thought that, you know, imagine if this right here, what we're experiencing, is not really reality. The non-physical is reality. And you were just saying before how, from the non-physical view, reality is like a blink of an eye, a snap of a finger. It goes so fast. So is reality both?
How you feel about your dream state is how this life will feel to you from the non-physical. The feeling of reality from the non-physical is what is actually happening. And this is all a grand illusion. So that you can feel as an individual, so that you can be convinced that things are happening, so that you can go through a life experience that from the time you're born to the time you die, you are moving moment by moment to a new perspective of who you are and who everything else, what everything else is and who everyone else is. So that's what time and space are. Time and space allows you to see yourself from a new perspective in every moment. Every step, you see things differently. Every moment that goes by in time, you see yourself from a new perspective. You can think about their future, but that's an illusion. You can remember the past, but you can't remember it accurately. All you can do is see yourself from this moment and this perspective. Yet, even in that perspective, it's clouded by your limiting beliefs. Without the limiting beliefs, you would see reality as it truly is. The happiest day of your life was a time where you totally agreed with the illusion of reality as your inner self saw it. And the worst day of your life was that day when you thought, when you argued with your inner self the most, seeing reality as a complete illusion compared to what it really is. Yes, this is physical reality. Physical reality means you think that you're looking at a computer, that you're in a building, that there's a roof above your head, that you're on a planet, that you're this age and live in this country and look like this. All illusions, right? In the non-physical, you'll see everything clearly because you will see the vibration of it, and that vibration will be clear because there's no limiting beliefs, there's no fear to interrupt the reality of it. So Gary was listening to a podcast, and they were talking about the ayahuasca experience and the DMT experience. And the ayahuasca experience creates this illusion that's so real that people are captivated by it and often change their entire approach to life after one experience. And it lasts for a certain amount of time, but it's only hours. Hours in a lifetime. Seems like nothing. From that perspective, they get, from the perspective of a human having an ayahuasca experience, they see other dimensions and other realities. And it puts their life in perspective, and many people change their lives as a result of this, because it is so eye-opening, right? This conversation we have with us is changing your perspective. Those of you listening to this now or in the future, this conversation will change your perspective a little bit. And so reality is all about moving from one perspective to another. And as you move from perspective to perspective, you see yourself and the world around you a little bit differently. If you want to call it real, you can. If you want to call it an illusion, you can. It seems real. It seems real because your senses are overwhelming.
Right.
But everything that you perceive is based on how you perceive yourself. If you saw yourself as completely unworthy, well, you would have never had children. You would never be able to interact with anybody. You would never do anything. You would possibly hide away and just be quiet. If you saw yourself as fully worthy, you would be much more closer to the authentic version of yourself because your limiting beliefs would not affect you as greatly. So somewhere between the two, you are perceiving yourself in context with the reality that you're living. And that reality isn't what you think it is. It's just this cool environment where you get to bounce ideas and perspectives off of that which is around you. And yes, it's a mirror to how you're being. So if you change how you're being, then you change the reality. And if the reality didn't change when you changed, you would think something's wrong with reality. It wouldn't make sense. So the reality always has to make sense to the perception that you are offering forth. That's why we say your children perceive you differently than your friends and your parents. Everyone perceives you differently. And you perceive yourself differently than you did a year ago, a month ago, 10 years ago. And so what is reality then? If no one can perceive you how you perceive you, and how you perceive you yourself is different than how your inner self perceives yourself, and how you'll perceive yourself once you return back to non-physical, then what's real about any of it? Nothing. Nothing's real about anything, because anything can be changed at any moment. So you're not stuck in any situation. You have the complete power to change, but yet you will have to face fears in order to do that. And you'll have to say things to yourself that allow you to move forward, because you can be frozen by those fears. That's what fears are. They're limitations. They're limiting. They limit you from doing something. They limit you from petting the lion, and they limit you from jumping off the cliff, and they limit you from trying this or trying that or talking to this person.
Exactly. So that's why I feel that it's all an illusion. Okay. And like Kyla was saying before, like, who cares?
But it's a fun illusion. You have to understand that it's much more exciting to go on a real roller coaster than to watch a film about a roller coaster.
Exactly.
Right?
So don't worry about
anything. You want that feedback. You want to know how you're doing. You want to be able to have the exhilaration that comes with pushing through fears.
Right.
So to fear that process is pointless.
It's pointless to process fear?
No, to fear the process of processing fears and limiting beliefs is pointless.
Right.
That's the game.
Well, the only thing you're ever really afraid of is negative emotion.
Right.
Right? If I do this, I'll feel like a failure, and that feeling will hurt.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But that's all in your perception. You get to choose how you perceive what a failure even is. Mm. And if you say that I perceive this as a failure if no one shows up, then you're saying I disagree with how the universe is planning all this.
Right.
Right. So you could say, well, that's just, you know, whitewashing it and looking at the silver lining. Yeah, it is. Because what we're asking you to do is try to find that alignment. Try to find that perspective that your inner self, you see, your inner self is guiding you, and this is how your inner self guides you, is through these emotions. So we say, argue a little bit less and agree a little bit more, even if you can't see how it's all going to work out.
I get it. I had to do a self-talk the other morning or the other night, and I did a pretty good job at it, I think. Excellent. I don't even want to get into what happened, but that's really all it is, no matter what's going on. I mean, something negative happened to me, and I could have perceived it as, oh, my God, why did this happen? How could I do that? I'm such a jerk, and, you know, through that self-talk, and I was literally came to tears, and then I stopped, and I said, you know what? This was for me. This is absolutely for me. I can't see that right at this moment, but I know. Let me calm down, get back into alignment, and then I saw, oh, my God, this could have happened or that could have happened. Something so much more worse, as I would perceive it as worse, could have happened. So I was grateful that whatever the event was, you know, I got into a little car accident, but that small event could have been much worse. And so I took it as it's okay. It's
well, you get to see how when little things like this happen, right, that as they happen, you leap forward into, oh, what's the worst possible thing, right? This person's going to be mad at me. This is going to cost money. This is going to be a hassle. My insurance rate's going to go up. All these things. So, money. Oh, that's pointing out a lack. Oh, what this person will think of me. That's pointing out that this person needs to approve of you in order for you to feel good, right? That if this person loved you, they wouldn't be upset with you. Right. Mm-hmm. And so what actually happened?
I had my daughter's car and I crashed the bumper by accident and she was fine. She was
worry that you might have had that she's going to be angry with you.
Yeah.
Turned out to be the opposite.
Yeah.
She expressed her acceptance of you, her love for you, and also her ability to talk through this to herself. It'll work out. And where do you think that came from?
Me.
Exactly.
Being an example of that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. An example of alignment. You don't need to freak out. You don't need to worry. Everything's being taken care of. This all happened for you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so in her calmness, she showed love. And in that love, she created a reality that was a match to more love. If she had been upset, she would have exuded fear. Fear of whatever, which would create more fear.
Right.
You know. Yeah. More fear of that level, too. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So imagine now that she responds in love, and she has talked herself through the fear that could come up from something like that, and has a confident way of looking at her life, that things are taking care of themselves, and now she moves to another level where other fears get exposed.
Yeah.
She's not at that lower fear. She's at the higher fear and moving forward and forward and forward and expanding greater than she might have if she was stuck with that old fear and creating a life based on that fear.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's just all part of the game. This is just what we're here for. And if we can literally, you know, have any perceived bad experience, and we can just process it, like you said, you keep saying, right then and there. Okay, all right, we can get upset. Sure, we're here to feel. All right, but don't linger in it. Turn it around and say, all right, how is this for me? And go from there.
So by not lingering in it, you reduce the intensity of it. You feel better. You get used to feeling better more often, because a lot of you were lingering in negative emotion most of the time. Mm. And that was a mild negative emotion to an intense negative emotion. And now you are crossing that line where you are lingering in a calm, easy, positive state of being more of the time. And this is what makes the negative emotion feel worse. Mm-hmm. Because the more momentum you have in feeling good, the more intense the negative emotion will be. And in the old life that you had before, you were adapting to the negative emotion, and it was becoming dumb and less intense because it was so prevalent. Mm-hmm. And as you move towards feeling good more of the time, the negative emotion will seem a little more intense. And in that drastic drop in state of being from feeling good to slightly negative emotion, you receive thoughts that haven't come to you lately, thoughts that you're not good enough, that you should be better, you should be doing different things, right? Thoughts of judgment. And those thoughts of judgment will feel really bad, because self-judgment is on that scale where your inner self is never going to agree with that. Mm. Yeah. Because you cannot be better than you are. Just remember that one thing, that if you think you can be better than you are, then you're going to seek improvement. And when you're not improving, when you perceive a setback, you're going to perceive it as failure. And that judgment is going to feel really bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you, I just had a thought, like if you, instead of saying I'm not perfect, say that I am perfect in this moment, but you know what? I want to experience this now, you know, like, I don't know, say, for example, you experience being overweight, you know, and feeling lethargic and tired. And it's like, all right, I'm over this. Like, now, all right, let me change. And I'm going to go exercise because I want to feel what it feels like to feel good and energized.
Exactly right. Like, you're not wrong for being overweight. You're perfect. You're not going to be better for being thinner. You're perfect.
Right.
You might feel better. It might be easier to move. You might have more things you can do. you might be inspired to do more things. And so from that perspective, you say, I'm going to work on this. I'm going to move towards this thing I prefer. And in the moving towards the thing I prefer, I'm going to bump up against a whole lot of limiting beliefs. And I am welcoming them. I am grateful for them to come. I want mm-hmm. them to come. I want to see what they are. And I want to prove they're all wrong. And in this proving of wrong, I'm not going to get better. In losing weight, I'm not going to be any better. I'm going to be exactly as perfect as I was before.
Right.
But I might have a new experience of life based on this.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's something I'm interested in.
Right.
What are the feelings of this? I felt this before. What's the feeling of this? Let's move in that direction and just see what happens.
That's all it's about.
Right.
I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. Good. Who would like to be next?
Hi, Joshua. It's Nikki.
Hi, Nikki. How are you?
I'm pretty good today. Thank you.
Excellent.
I had a huge manifestation event last week, and listening to all the things that you've been saying, it just has become clear to me. You know, you talked about moving forward and then resisting, moving a little bit forward and then resisting. So I was in Paris, and my car got towed, okay? And, you know, anytime anything happens that involves administration and police or anything like that, like, I always call in my husband. He saves the day. He's always the hero. And this is sort of the role he has played in my life for the last 25 years. And so, you know, I was going to be a big girl and handle it, but I was filled with fear, and I was missing some papers, and it got very complicated, and I didn't pick up the phone and ask him for help. But I really did have a lot of fear. There were it was a situation a bit complicated. And anyway, you know, I actually had to go off and have lunch because the place closed, and I, you know, I was crying and I was feeling very emotional. And the whole time this was going on, I really said to myself, Nikki, what is the worst thing that can happen? And even the worst possible thing that could happen wasn't that bad. In fact, I was thinking it was kind of funny because it was like the universe was orchestrating things so that it was giving me a little shove, I felt like, in a way. And, you know, it's so true about this limiting belief stuff, because I got in touch with this belief that I need a soldier out there in front of me to save me. And it was so clear to me that this was a limiting belief, that I am powerful and that I can take care of myself. And, you know, I just think it's funny how, you know, I reacted, and then I felt all that emotion. Like, I couldn't stop crying, and I was kind of sleep deprived, so I was tired. But, you know, it all worked out okay. And, like, when I think about it now, it's like it really wasn't a big deal, but it just hit me so strongly, and I realized that this has also given me a taste of what life will be like when I'm completely on my own, if I'm completely on my own, for however long I might be completely on my own. And that it's not as scary as I think, you know? It's this thing about, if I want to have a bigger life, then I'm going to get these limiting beliefs that are going to just hit me, you know? So it was really an eye-opener. So in hindsight, I have to say that it was all for me. But it was pretty scary when I was going through it.
So hindsight is a higher perspective.
Yeah.
Right. So when you're going through it, you could say to yourself, in a week, when I look back on this, I'm going to see how it turned out. And I'm going to see the benefit in this manifestation event. Right now, the fear is popping up. Okay,
yeah.
That's fine. What's this fear? The fear is that I'm going to have to do this on my own, that I can't just call in my knight in shining armor to take care of everything, that I have to rely on somebody else, that there's no way I could make it on my own. Well, another living belief is that you're on your own in the first place. You're not on your own. You could never be more loved and supported and surrounded by physical and non-physical entities. Right?
Yeah.
So another way of looking at this would be to say, this event popped up in my reality. This event is going to take X amount of time to work through. if I resist this and say it shouldn't have happened, I shouldn't have parked there, they shouldn't have towed my car, they should have given me more time, I should have done this so this wouldn't happen. If I say that, then I know for sure that I'm resisting what is happening. So what if I didn't resist it? What would happen then? Well, then I could be fun with the people, and I could see them as cooperative components in this manifestation event. And then I could expand through this event, get exactly what I was going to get anyway. But instead of doing it in fear, I can do it in joy. You know, you came here to expand in joy. So we want to say to you that anytime you're expanding, it can be in joy or in resistance, and that's up to you. But you intended to expand in joy. So you said to yourself, this process is going to take X amount of hours. At the end of this process, I am going to expand. I will know how I expanded from a higher perspective. From the expanded place in a week from now, I will know how I expanded. Right? Now, I can't see how I expanded. I do not know how it is because I'm not a vibrational match to that expanded part of me.
Yeah.
You see? So you can play with these ideas and understand that if it's all for you, then my idea that I wish I was somewhere else, I wish it didn't happen, is the illusion that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that wishing things to be different is thinking you have all the information and thinking you know how it would work out.
Yeah.
So Gary was at a football game this weekend with his friend. And as they're driving in traffic looking for a parking spot and being directed to certain places, some people were going into this one lot, and this traffic cop urged him to go to another spot and wouldn't allow him to go into this one spot that seemed close. And so his friend is upset that they didn't get to park in this one spot and they had to park in a different spot. And Gary knows that the new spot is going to be perfect. He didn't know how it was going to be perfect, right? And so he gets to the spot, and he sort of looks at it in a curious way. While his friend's complaining that now they have to walk all this way and all this stuff, Gary's going, we're going to rendezvous with something that is going to make our day. And he's complaining, we're never going to have a good time. This is not going to work out. We're going to be late. We're not going to find the right people. We're not going to get our tickets, this sort of thing. And Gary was just very confident. And so Gary didn't try and move anything. And his friend was walking around looking and not really seeing anything. And so Gary had an inspiration to go over here, and he would guide his friend and inspiration to go to here. And they got to the spot, and two guys came to sell tickets. And the friend wanted the cheaper ones, and Gary said, let's just get these good ones, right? We don't know where they are, but let's just get the ones that at least have a seat. And so he got those ones, and they ended up being the best seats he's ever had at any football game, ever. Seats that, if he had bought them online, would have been $150 each instead of $20 each, right? And so he's just beaming and satisfied in the calm approach to whatever is turning out, while his friend was resisting all the way and then ended up getting the best seats in the entire building. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And still his friend resisted and resisted and resisted, and Gary just enjoyed and enjoyed and enjoyed. Two completely different approaches to life, and that he could really see how one was having this fun, enjoyable, beneficial outcome, and the other one was resisting every single thing that was happening. So you don't know how things are supposed to turn out, but you can know that if you can allow yourself to be easy about it and not resist it, and then when things do turn out, you can just appreciate it and use that as a catalyst for more good things happening to you. It's just a new approach to life.
You know, I have to say the aftermath of that experience was that I wanted to hide in my cave for about a week. Like, I just felt fear, you know. I mean, I didn't feel fear any longer, but I felt like, wow, that was such a big experience for me that I just needed to retreat for a while. And then when you were talking about it feels, you said something like it feels like, yeah, you'll perceive a setback as failure. And so I was actually judging myself the last couple of days because I've been, you know, I'm still back at the house because my apartment's not going to be ready till Wednesday. And I'm like, okay, so you're here in this cozy little house. Your soldier's doing all these things. You know, you're on your throne. And it was like, oh, it's so cozy here. Do I really have to? I have so much momentum in, like, striking out. And now I'm, like, in my little cave. And I was sort of judging myself about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's fine. That's fine. That's what happens. You're going to get it back into alignment at some point, right?
Yeah.
So are you going to be in alignment in 2 years? Probably.
No.
Over this, you'll
be
in alignment,
this,
right?
Yes.
Yeah. Or will it be in 6 months, or will it be in 2 more days, or will it be after this phone conversation? So you're going to be in alignment at some point over this. You're going to see it from a better perspective at some point. And so you can do it now or you can do it later. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that you are in a state of resistance or in a state of allowing. One feels better than the other one. So choose how you want to feel. Put feeling good at the top of your list. Say,
yep.
I decide I want to feel good. I'm going to talk to myself about this.
Yeah. I feel really good right now. I'm really happy. I just feel like, in a way, it's kind of like I put my feet in the water and it was really cold. So I'm like hanging out. I'm not going in the pool, you know.
Yes, but the more you get acclimated to the cold, the water temperature, the less you're going to be fearing it, right?
Yeah.
The more confidence you'll have that you can jump in, it's not going to be a big deal. The pool may be cold, but once you get in and swim around a bit, it'll warm up, right?
Yeah, so, I think that's exactly.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. So when you feel good, all you're doing is saying, I agree with the perspective my inner self has in this moment. That's all you're saying. I agree, I agree, I agree. When you feel bad, all you're saying is, I disagree with the perspective my inner self has in this moment. That disagreement is the illusion. The agreement is the reality. So just realize, whenever you're disagreeing, wherever you're in resistance, you are perceiving a reality that is not true. It's not true you need someone to handle things for you. It's not true that this is a negative experience. It's not true that anything wrong is happening here. It's true that everything right is happening here. Just remind yourself, it's either true, you feel good, or it's not true, you don't feel good.
Okay, thank you.
Excellent. Who's next?
Hey, Joshua, it's Isabel.
Hi, Isabel.
So I just wanted to share with you, I came back from Vancouver and from my QHHT training, and I could see how our conversations for the past year and a half or whatever has really assisted me, even taking a stance of curiosity, guiding someone through their past lives, because a lot of times they'll die in their past life, you know, whether it's a drowning or a natural life or whatever, and we look back and say, what was the purpose of that life? But because I was just so easy about it and curious, that I was doing the session in joy. And I was just like, I just have to tell you guys, thank you so much, because there's no way I could have enjoyed to listen to experiences with the stance of curiosity and not see it as wrong, you know?
So what was a wrong experience from a past life?
I don't think anything was wrong, but one was somebody was a slave and was thrown overboard while still alive. And yeah. I was just like, oh, how curious.
So that's saying that if you were resisting that and saying that it was wrong, what you're saying is that experience of life is causing me fear. I would not want to have that experience of life.
Right.
Right. And the opposite is true, is that experience of life was valid for the person that went through, for the soul, we will say, that went through it. It was a valid experience of life. Even that experience of life could have been filled with joy. It's a perspective that being a slave was wrong and things should be different than they are, right? But we're going out on a limb here, saying that at the time, in the progression of the expansion of this non-physical entity, that experience led to the life they're having now. And yes, without that experience, this experience would not be possible. And that even if you look at a death, well, let's say someone lived 40 years, 50 years, and they had a death experience that would not be optimal based on your perspective, right?
Right.
Well, just put it in the context of that life, 50 years and 2 minutes of death. It's nothing, right? And that the death experience is perceived by you inaccurately. If you're attacked by a lion, you do not feel any of this. There is no pain in any of that, right? It is a quick, easy death, right? The resistance of that is the thing that leads to the pain.
But, well, it's interesting that you say that. A lot of them were saying that they didn't feel it. They were already out of the body.
Right.
They could look at the body.
Right. They look at the body because the body is not you.
Right.
It's just your spacesuit, your earth suit. Right?
Yeah.
You don't need to attach yourself to the body. The body is perfectly a match to who you are and allows you to explore reality as you chose. But it isn't you. You clip a fingernail, you don't freak out and keep them with you and glue them back on. Doesn't matter, right?
And so also from what you've taught us is that they created all those lives, right? And whether the soul at that time reliving that life understood it, I think they sense they do because they say, oh, it was the beliefs of the time. But it, you know, I look at it with curiosity, like, oh, you were a fisherman. Oh, and who was in your past life that's in your current life, you know? And then we talk to the higher consciousness or the higher selves or their inner selves. And I'll say, why did you show that life? And they'll say, to show no matter what the circumstances were, you can love.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely.
Mm. Yeah. So it's really neat how these conversations are now leading into different perspective conversations, but around the same conversation.
Right. So imagine that you meet somebody who's interested in their past life. And they come to you, of all people, and you're able to guide them in a way to show them the higher perspective of this and to give them some context for why they were shown this. And you must realize that who they are as a vibrational entity right now is not who they were back then. And so they're putting their expanded version of themselves in the shoes of the less expanded version of themselves, the version that was capable of handling that situation. This expanded version does not need that experience anymore. So the context of why they're receiving this information now, in their life now, is the valuable component of it, not that life was wrong or bad or should have been different than it was, right? So you can glean the educational benefit of looking back at that life and relate it to this life.
Right.
But without dwelling on the negative aspects or the perceived negative aspects of that prior life.
Yes.
This
and that's
is
how I
the
feel.
Reason that people don't remember the past lives. But if they are a vibrational match to some story, right, because it's always going to be a story, it's never going to be, they'll never receive the full, when you return to non-physical, you'll receive the full impact of the entire life that you've had. And you can review every minute of it, if you want to, in high detail. Well, from this perspective, in our dream state, in physical reality, you're going to see everything from this limited perspective of self. And those fears and limiting beliefs about yourself are going to create a lens of obscurity on the life itself of the past life, of the story mm-hmm. of the past life. It's like looking at a memory from when you were 3 years old. You don't understand who was there, who you were in that, right? It's very obscure. This is the same thing. However, there could be a nugget of perspective-changing information in that. And that's what the benefit is. So don't spend too much time on the physicality of that life, but more on the information that that instance brings forth.
Yeah, more of the emotion, you know, like...
Yeah, well, the emotion, too, though, is also a limited emotion, right? If it's a negative emotion, it's based in fear, not having enough information...
Right.
From a limited perspective.
Well, the emotion of, like, the life review. So, like, when they cross over, yeah. I say, oh, and what did you think of that life?
Yeah.
What did you feel about that life? From their point of view
well,
at that moment.
If they're being talking to you from their non-physical space,
yes.
they will always be exhilarated. There will be mm-hmm. no negative part of it. Or any disappointment, right?
That's what I've covered, yeah.
Yeah, because there's no way for them to feel any fear.
Yeah.
And so if without the fear, without the limiting beliefs, they can't be in the non-physical. They will think that every experience was perfect as it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. From their perspective as a human living that life, they'll say, this was bad, that was good.
Mm-hmm.
The good meaning that... That's how they believe things should have been. And the bad meaning, that's how they believe things should not have been.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. In non-physical, you are a pure positive being of love and acceptance. Or we should just say acceptance. Just omit the word love. It's just acceptance. I accept that that happened. I accept that was for me. I accept that it was wonderful. I accept that it was perfect. I accept that there's no resistance to any of it, right? If you want to say that you love someone, all you're doing is saying, I accept you as you are. If you love someone unconditionally, I accept every aspect of you. If you want to say, I love you when you're being good, you say, I accept you in those times you're being good. And I have resistance around those times when I perceive that you should be different than you are.
Mm-hmm.
When you say, I hate someone, you say, I don't accept anything about you because I fear you.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish you didn't cause me fear.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime anyone ever gets upset with you, it's because they wish you were different than you were so that they wouldn't feel fear.
Right.
But in changing who you are so they don't feel fear, changing your behavior, you do them a disservice because it doesn't allow them to go inside and look at their limiting beliefs. It causes them to feel that control works.
Yeah. Which, Kyla, I wanted to comment to you. So, like, I've done four regressions or hypnotizing people, and I talk to their inner selves. And, you know, just like Joshua tells us all the time, they are totally guiding us, you know. And some inner selves that are like, and they don't listen.
But the inner self never gives up.
Never. Mm-mm.
Yeah. You cannot see something you think is wrong and all of a sudden have no emotion about it. In the inner self lives in the moment, and so do you. And so you're mm-hmm. guided in every... Do you feel good right now in this conversation? That's because you are being guided by your inner self. Your inner self feels good about this conversation. Mm-hmm. If we were to say something that caused you to feel fear, then you are just saying that... Joshua said this thing that I interpret it as a negative thing because I have a limiting belief around it. So then that negative emotion is Joshua saying something, we saying something, and your inner self saying that Joshua's right. Joshua's right on board. And then you say, no, you're all wrong. I know better from this perspective. Right? Yeah. You coming out to see your car get towed, you're saying, your inner self is saying, that was perfect. That's going to lead to this greatest manifestation event that you need to get where you want to go. And you're saying, I don't want this manifestation event because I want to go where I want to go, but not this way. And your inner self is saying, this is the best way to go. It's the most elegant way. Just go with it and see what happens. And you're saying, screw that. I don't want that. I want to get where I want to go without having to face these manifestation events, which allow me to look at limiting beliefs, which allow me to process fear, which allow me to see things from a new perspective. And your inner self says, unless you see things from a new perspective, you're going to always believe this. And if you always believe this, you're never going to be a vibrational match to that which you truly want. All right? Is that enough? If so, until next time, we are complete.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.